When upon life billow you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. You count your blessing, name them one by one. You count your blessings, see what God hath done. You count your blessing, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Are you ever burdened with a load of care? And does the cross seem heavy you were called to bear? You count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. You count your blessing, name them one by one. You count your blessing, see what God hath done. You count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. When you look at others with their lands and gold, think that Christ has promised you the wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven nor your home on high. You count your blessings, see what God hath done. You count your blessing, name them one by one. You count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. So amid the conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. You count your many blessings, angels will attend. Help and comfort give you till the journey's end. You count your blessing, name them one by one. You count your blessing, see what God hath done. You count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Oh, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done.
And we are going to see some more of those blessings. This morning will be another message on the faith. Let us turn to the 14th chapter of Acts. Acts 14. And we will begin with verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. He came into the city. The next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. When they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And so the subject of the faith, the message this morning is continue in the faith. We have seen in previous messages that the faith is only one. It is the faith of the Son of God. We've also found out that the faith is embodied in Christ, just as we find that He is the Word of God. Then, of course, as we have always already seen from Romans 10, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when we see this exhortation here in verse 22, that we are to continue in the faith, it really is a reference. It calls attention to all the glorious principles of God's Word. That little word, continue, literally means to stay in the same place. It means to persevere. Paul is exhorting the disciples here to continue or to persevere in that faith, that is, not to leave it, not to depart from it. I want to notice one great reason. There are a number of them, as we're going to see here. One great reason for the exhortation to continue is that there are so many hindrances and obstacles to those who are going to continue in the faith. The apostle tells us here in verse 22, just as well to expect it, must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. He's not talking about being saved, as we would well understand and know. We will reiterate again as we go through this message, not what Paul is talking about. That's not what it means to continue in the faith. Everyone begins in exactly the same way. By grace through faith are you saved. But what Paul speaks of here is something far in advance to that. There are, again, these great hindrances. We see one of them here in verses 19 and 20 happened to the Apostle Paul himself when there came those Jews. They were so occupied with the law and trying to dissuade people, and they were persuading the people against him. They stoned him, left him for dead. I think Paul mentions this a little later. He says whether he was in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I think that happened right here at this particular place. I am firmly persuaded he was dead and God simply raised him up. Satan trying to stop him from continuing to preach this message of the faith. And so it was in verse 20 that he stood up, went into the city, and indeed he was not stopped. We'll not turn there, but in the 20th chapter of Acts, we find Paul's response to this incident and others as he testifies of the fact that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Those were intended to stop him from preaching the faith, but Satan was not able to accomplish that. Paul continues there, says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul was the example of continuing in the faith despite these great difficulties, these things that would come up against him. He set the example for us that despite all of that, we too must continue. Another way that Satan would hinder is found in Acts 13. Elymas the sorcerer withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This is what Satan's desire is. Turn away those who are involved, those who have proceeded, those who are interested in continuing the faith. Satan would try to turn them away. Then the apostle tells us of another group, warned another group. He said it this way when he was writing to the Galatians in Galatians 1:6, I marvel that you are so soon removed. This is a reference to those who at this particular point did not continue in the faith. They were removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said again to the Galatians, you did run well, past tense. You started out just fine. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth, or indeed obey the faith? These Galatians, of course, had been saved. They were Gentiles. They had believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They had come to salvation by grace through faith, as all men do. And they were well on their way, but there were some Judaizers who came down from Jerusalem trying to persuade them that they must now keep the law in order to be righteous. Paul spends his time in Galatians trying to dissuade them and to turn them from that. This same message Paul preaches to Hebrew Christians. They too had believed on Jesus in exactly the same manner by grace through faith. But they were persuaded that you must continue in the ways of the law for perfection. And Paul writes that book of Hebrews to Hebrew Christians, trying to turn them aside and turn them away from that thinking, and let them know that the only way to continue is indeed in the faith. He said to the Hebrews in chapter 6 and verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. It's the same message as continuing in the faith, because that is the only way that men will ever reach the perfection of which he announces here. I want to emphasize from this example that we have of the Galatians and of the Hebrews that following the law will literally rob men of continuing in the faith. One cannot follow the law and continue in the faith. Paul says it quite clearly. The law is not of faith. And so much of the church, sadly, is involved with the law today, concentrates on the law, and do not realize that they are actually robbing their hearers of the tremendous blessings that there are contained in the faith. I have mentioned just a few hindrances that Satan would have. He holds up many circumstances trying to deter people from laying hold of that place and continuing in the faith. I want to go to the first chapter of Colossians in continuing this message, however. The Colossian saints were far different from the Galatians and the Hebrews. The Colossian assembly was a very elite assembly. They had laid hold of tremendous truth, like unto the Thessalonians and some of the others that had taken hold of this message. But Paul still felt it necessary to warn them also about continuing in the faith. Colossians 1 and verse 23. He begins here, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue. Once again, the apostle is not telling the Colossians, if you want to be saved, you better do this. I want to notice exactly what he was talking about. If you back up to verse 21, we see the words that prompted these things. Why that Paul indeed was exhorting these believers. I repeat, they were not carnal believers. They were not like the Corinthians. They were not like the Galatians. They were not like the Hebrews. These were very spiritual people. And the point is this. If Paul exhorted these spiritual saints, let every man today understand that we don't get so spiritual that we don't need to hear this exhortation to continue in the faith. It is something that must face us every day, and we must make the choice daily. And the reason being all of these tremendous hindrances that the enemy holds up before us. It is a constant battle, and the only path that we can and must choose is to continue in the faith. We'll see more of that here in just a moment, but notice what Paul said to these Colossian saints. Verse 21, you that were sometime alienated. He's talking about these Gentiles. The Jews would refer to them as the uncircumcised Philistine of the Old Testament. And we were in exactly the same place. You were sometime alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now had he reconciled. We were reconciled to him by grace through faith. That's the only way that anyone ever gets saved. But it does not end there. Verse 22, in the body of his death, or in the body of his flesh rather, through death, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. Then he adds, if you continue in the faith. This is what it means to continue in the faith. He is talking about the tremendous result of that. He tells us of the tremendous reward of continuing in the faith, and that is going to produce this glorious condition that we find here, to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable, and then notice it carefully, in his sight. It is God's evaluation that we are striving for, not the opinion of anyone around us, but we are standing before God, and he is the one in whom we are interested, and we must continue in the faith in order to achieve what we are talking about here, these wonderful blessings and reward that the Apostle Paul is speaking of. And so first, let us understand that this attainment here in verse 22 is not automatic. It happens only if we continue in the faith. Every person that has ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ has eternal life. The moment he believes, and he will be in heaven. That is a guarantee. The thief who hung on the cross by Jesus is guaranteed to tell that story. He's an example of that glorious truth. But let us also understand that every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ is not going to attain to this state that we see here in verse 22. And we indeed want to be in that place. So, Paul tells us, yes, this is a wonderful mark. This is a wonderful goal. This is a wonderful provision. But it is conditional. Verse 23, if you continue in the faith. We must continue in the faith in order to obtain that. What does it mean to continue in the faith? Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded, settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. That's the same message, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. His ministry was devoted to this very thing, preaching this gospel, which is able to present every man in the manner that we have seen in verse 22. Translated, this means, if you continue in the faith, it means men must pursue the depths of the Word of God. This is where the church falls sadly short today, because, you know, I've heard a number of different ministries, some of them extremely good ministries, some of them righteous causes and things of this nature. But sometimes they only point out one particular phase of the gospel, or that which they are interested in. They have one certain mission that they are interested in. Most of them concern life in this world right now, which are honorable and which are worthy and which are right. But there is something far better and far greater than that. That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. This is why it's so important to understand when Paul tells us to continue in the faith, he's not just talking about one avenue, such as salvation, being filled with the Spirit, healing for the body, the marital relationships and other relationships, things like this that are very important to people in our world today. But it cannot be limited to that. And so it is that Paul says, if you continue in the faith, it means to pursue, once again, the depths of God's Word. We'll not turn to these scriptures. You know them well. Wonderful references that we have seen over and over again. How do we continue? 2 Timothy 2:15 says it this way. Study to show thyself approved. This is an exhortation to every member of the body of Christ. It is good, it is proper, it is great to come and listen to those who are giving out the Word of God. But there's no substitute for studying it ourselves. Even things that we hear from the pulpit, many times there is a even greater need to study as to how that applies to my own life. And so there's no substitute for studying that. If we are going to continue in the faith, study to show thyself what? Approved unto God. He's the one that we are trying to impress, as it were. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And here's the key. Rightly dividing the word of truth. There are so many misapplications of God's word today. It is absolutely pathetic that men are not rightly dividing the word of truth. What does it mean? It means they are taking scripture out of context and trying to make it say something that it does not. Always consider the context in which certain things are written. And so rightly dividing the word of truth. Another, 2 Timothy 3:16 says it this way. All scripture, not just some of it, not just choice verses in the New Testament that might appeal to us and might be easy for us to understand and apply to our own lives. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Notice further, it's profitable for doctrine. That means teaching. It's God's doctrine. It's God's teaching. It's the message that He would send to us. The message of the faith. For reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Jesus said it this way. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. John 5:39. And they are they which what? Testify of me. The scriptures testify of the faith. That is why it must be our experience, our daily experience in life, of searching out the scripture if we are going to continue in the faith. One of the greatest blessings that God has given me is so often wake up and there is scripture going through my mind. That is the promise of God. The Holy Ghost, he will remind you, bring to you remembrance the things that I've said unto you. Did you know that before he can do that, we have to read it in the first place? We have to search it out in the first place? We have to dig into it in the first place? And when we do, he will bring it to our remembrance over and over, indeed, as we need these things. And so the Holy Ghost is so faithful to bring those things unto us, speaking to us the wonders of God's Word. It is so important that we understand and we follow that glorious pattern of indeed speaking the Word. Search the Scriptures, for here is where we're going to find Christ, the Word, the faith. There is no substitute for believing the faith as recorded in God's Word. The reason for that, we have brought this out many times before, and I continue to emphasize it. The reason that we bring this particular part of the message out is true of every person. Whatever men believe, doesn't make any difference what it is. Whatever men believe will eventually be translated into their lives. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:13. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, and it is written in Psalm 116 and verse 10, I believed, and therefore, because of that belief, I have spoken. Paul says, we also believe, and therefore speak. Make no mistake once again, what a person, any person, believes in his heart, that is what will be translated into his life, be it right or wrong. Jesus said it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaketh. What men believe is what will be manifest in their lives. This is why there's no substitute. It is absolutely imperative that we continue in the faith, because that is what must be manifest in our lives and our experience. I want to return here to Colossians, the first chapter, in closing, because Paul gives to us, he outlines for us the mighty reward that there is, the great result there is in our lives if you continue in the faith. Again, I point out, it is a great big if. Because this means it is conditional. We determine our own reward. We determine our own success, our own development. It's determined by if we continue in the faith. And notice what is possible once again when we continue in the faith. Verse 22. He wants to present you holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. But it depends on whether you're grounded, settled, whether you continue in this faith, the gospel that we have just seen. This same message is found in Ephesians 5:25. We need not turn there, but it says this: Christ also loved the church. He gave himself for it. And here's what he was going to do: that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That is the same word of faith we've been talking about. that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Identical same thoughts as he tells the Colossians here, unreprovable, unblameable, holy in his sight. And the only thing we need to do, continue in the faith. And as he says here, that means that we are grounded, we are settled, cannot be moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Then whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We pursue continuing in the faith by pursuing this wonderful message that the Apostle Paul has preached unto us. From the beginning of this church age, his authority extends down to the very end of it. And so today, we must make that own commitment in our lives. I can't make it for you, and you can't make it for me. It is me who must determine, am I going to continue in the faith? And of course, Paul has already warned us, there are going to be great tribulations because of it, but they are well worth it to be presented blameless, holy, unreprovable in his sight. Let us sing.